counting the ways to where you are. I'm 22 for a moment, and she feels better than ever, and we're on fire. And welcome back to the Neutral Zone Podcast. It is Monday, April 22nd, 2019. We are back here for our final podcast of the 2018-2019 school year. It's a bit bittersweet, but you know, we might be back next year. Goob, we don't know if he's going to be back. It's Goob's. Goob's here, by the way. We got Goob, we got John Hannon, and we've got Owen Krebs returning. Welcome back, Owen.
Yeah.
Goob, you are. Yeah. Where are you headed next year? We've already hinted at this a few times, but where are you going?
Going to Duquesne University.
Yeah, Goob is transferring to Duquesne. He will be our chief Duquesne correspondent next year. Hopefully he can show up for a few. We will see. So we got some baseball. We got some hockey. Hockey's in playoffs. Playoffs are crazy right now. Everybody's bracket's busted. We will get to that after baseball. Baseball, a lot of stuff is happening. You know, Christian Yelich is just unreal right now. He's been homering like crazy the last few days. Off the Dodgers, no less. We're a good team. And, yeah, so Christian Yelich, once again, thank you, Derek Jeter, for trading him out of the NL East so we don't have to deal with that. But, yeah, Yelich, 13 home runs already this season. That's league leader, or he's tied with Chris Davis of the Oakland A's, not the Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles. But, yeah, so we got that. We've got some interesting plays happening yesterday, by the way, three of them, in fact, with a new segment called Clips. I will play the clip of this video. We've got them. If you want to pull up the audio for the aux there, we will show you the first one. This is, okay, Ramon Laureano just turned one of the most insane double plays I've ever seen. He robbed the home run, and then he threw it back in. He skied the throw. It went to first base, went past first base. The catcher came up and threw the guy out at second, which was very, very interesting. So we've got this video right here playing. If it decides to play, here we go.
Control the running game. Mariano's now going back. He's still going back. He's near the wall, and it is. He caught it. He caught it. He fires it back in. Now Hundley grabs it. The throw to second base, and maybe the greatest double play you've ever seen.
That is probably one of the greatest double plays I've seen besides Andy Chavez's double play. But, yeah, that was a very interesting play there. Goob, what do you think about that? What happened? He skied that throw. That was
a very athletic move.
Yeah, it was.
I say
you know,
so
he launched that. John, what did you see that video, John?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about that?
I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's no. I throw my arm off
the
trying.
The throw was so bad, but it worked. So
yeah,
good.
That's the thing about it. And props to Nick Hundley for backing that one up, or that would not have happened. So yeah, and then the next one. Hader versus Bellinger. This is part two of the Dodgers homering off of Bellinger back-to-back days to take the lead. Let's take a look at this one. I'll take you to Joe Davis with the call.
Bellinger turns on a ball to right field and deep. They have done it again! Bellinger off Hader. The Dodgers take the lead in the ninth.
So that was very, very interesting. We will get to that in a little bit. We've got Luke Yost coming in here for his final prediction of this year. Luke Yostbaum, what do we got here today, Luke?
Take my mic.
If the Pens don't win next year, Mike Sullivan's out.
I agree with that.
You know, that's a fair statement.
Although half the fan base is calling
for him
to be gone this year.
If you don't like that one, I'll give you a new one. I'll give you a new one.
Tampa in four.
No.
No.
Tampa out in four.
Yeah.
Blues winning it all.
Oh. Yeah, I agree with
all
that.
All right,
I want the Blues
You know,
to
the
win.
Blues are a playoff team, so... Well, we will see. Blues are a playoff team.
Does
they
he do this
do,
every episode?
Yeah. He yeah. does it every episode. He has had some really good predictions, including that Lightning one. So, yeah, we've got that. Luke, his final prediction of the year is the Blues are winning it all. Mike Sullivan's out next year if the Penguins don't win it. Interesting.
Well, he's wrong.
Well, yeah, so that the Hader versus Bellinger, by the way, that's back-to-back games where that happened to Hader giving up home run. That is his first home run he's ever allowed to a lefty, if I'm reading that right. Yeah, the lefties were hitting the second homer ever by a lefty. Lefties were hitting 103, 16 for 156 off Hader. So Hader's a very good lockdown guy, but the last 2 days he's given up home runs, one to Kike Hernandez and one to Cody Bellinger. And then the Mets yesterday, well, they lost. Alonso versus Dakota Hudson. Pete Alonso wanted in the lineup. He said, you know what? I hate this guy. I faced him in college. He played for Alonzo played for Florida, and Hudson played for Mississippi State, I believe, in the SEC. And Hudson had the upper hand, so he wanted to face him. So we'll take you to that right now. And this was just majestic.
And Alonzo hits one deep to center field. Back goes Fowler, and that ball is way out of here, above the grassy area. An amazing home run by Alonzo. He goes deep to center field one more time. His eighth home run of the year, his second.
I mean, I'm just running out of adjectives to describe this guy, how he's been doing earlier on in the season. I mean, even Goob's seen it. Goob joining the Mets fandom in the last couple of weeks, you know. He just destroyed one. I mean, it's death taxes and Pete Alonso hitting absolute bombs. So that is his eighth home run of the year, and he is just unreal. So, yeah, there's that power clip. Oh, yeah, so, and then some injuries. Matt Shoemaker tore his ACL for Toronto. He will be out for the year. And then Aaron Judge is going to be out for a while. That's something the Yankees fans would not like to hear after their whole team's basically been on the disabled list. As a Mets fan, I know how that feels. We had that happen in 2017. So, yeah. John, what is happening over there in the Bronx?
We apparently signed all the Mets trainers.
Yeah, exactly. So Ray Ramirez is crouching in the shadows there. So, yeah, and then Goob's a Mets fan. He's now a Mets fan. So, yeah, we got some scores. The Yankees did win, though, in 10 yesterday. They beat the Kansas City Royals 7-6 in 10 innings. Clint Frazier with a 6 home run of the year. He's heating up. He's been on fire the last few weeks. And then you got Alex Gordon with his 4th and Hunter Dozier with his 6th. Minnesota 4, Baltimore 3. Williams asked DiDio, the Tortuga, the Turtle. He had 2 RBI in the win. And then Dwight Smith Jr. had 2 for Baltimore. And then, yeah, so the next game, Washington at Miami. Marlins, you should have won this game. I'm not a fan of the Nationals. But Strasburg pitched 8 innings, struck out 11, did not allow a run. And then Ryan Zimmerman hit 2 home runs for 3 on the year. And then Brian Dozier homered for his 3rd. And then Miami had absolutely nothing happen. Nothing happened for Miami. Only 3 hits in the ballgame. And then you got Detroit and the White Sox. Detroit beat them 4-3. Gordon Beckham homered for his 3rd of the year. Not David Beckham. But
Odell Beckham.
Could be Tim Beckham. Could be anybody. Any Beckham. So David Beckham with his 3rd of the year. Gordon Beckham. And Tim Anderson and Leury Garcia had RBIs for the White Sox. The Giants finally did something. The last 2 weeks they've been doing absolutely nothing for this podcast. Buster Posey with his 1st home run of the year, beating the Pirates 3-2. Josh Bell with his 4th. Josh Bell hit an absolute bomb. We've seen him at home runs. They're long. They're very big. But yeah. And then in 11 innings, Boston is finally getting over the hump of the World Series hangover. Boston beat Tampa 4-3 in 11. Mitchie Two Bags, Mitch Moreland hit his 7th home run of the year, and Tommy Pham went yard for his 4th. And then Los Angeles and Milwaukee, you just saw that Bellinger, or just heard that Bellinger home run. Bellinger with his 11th. Peterson had 2 yesterday on his birthday. That's 10 on the year. And then Eric Thames with his 4th. Dodgers won that one 6-5. And then a game that was just terrible pitching by starter for the Mets. 6-4 the final. St. Louis won. They took 2-3 in that series. Goldschmidt had 2 RBI for the Cardinals. And then Alonso went his yard for his 8th of the year. Syndergaard, by the way, hit a home run his 1st of the year, but the pitcher. And it was aided by Dexter Fowler's glove. That hit his glove and went over the fence for a home run. And then you got Conforto with his 6th and Cano with his 3rd on the year. The Cubs beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 2-1. David Bodie with a walk-off RBI, and then Jerrod Dyson with his 3rd of the year. I got a slugfest in Houston, Texas, 11, Houston, 10. Logan Forsythe and Hunter Pence went yard. Brantley, Reddick, Springer, Bregman, and Correa, the guys that are the usual suspects for Houston, went yard in that one. And then a good game. I'm happy this happened. Colorado beat Philly 4-1. Tony Walters with 2 RBI. And the lone RBI for the Phillies was JT Realmuto. And he got the Los Angeles game 8-6, the final. Tommy La Stella, who is a better home run hitter than Trout, has 6 on the year now with 2 last night. Kevin Smith, his 1st of the year, and then Brian Goodwin with his 3rd. Haniger, Murphy, and Gordon for Seattle. Late games last night, Toronto and Oakland, Smoke with his 5th, and then Davis, Simeon, and Matt Chapman with RBIs in that one. San Diego beat Cincinnati 4-3, Austin Hedges, Kyle Farmer, and Eugenio Suarez went yard. And then you got the Sunday Night Baseball game, a Josh Donaldson revenge game, if you will. Josh Donaldson had 2 home runs for 4. Lindor and Perez went yard for Cleveland. And then today's games, Arizona at Pittsburgh at 7:05, White Sox at Baltimore 7:05, Detroit at Boston at 7:10, Kansas City at Tampa at 7:10, Mets at Philly at 7, or Philly at Mets at 7:10. That's going to be Jake Arrieta versus Steven Matz.
Go Mets!
Goob's a huge Mets fan, as we've said. Milwaukee and St. Louis at 7:45. Minnesota at Houston at 8:10. Washington, Colorado at 8:40. Yankees at the Angels at 10:07. And Texas at Oakland at 10:07. And that is all we've got for baseball. So let's get right into some hockey right now. We are re-recording this a little bit later today. Unfortunately, it's 2 weeks in a row that our podcast skipped. I'm not sure what happened.
But it's just me and Tyler, so.
Yeah, Owen had to go home, and Goob is nowhere to be found.
We did manage to save the baseball.
We did save the baseball half.
Obviously, so you heard that already.
Yeah.
So let's get started in the hockey,
we had some really good discussions, which is a shame because we had a lot to talk about in this hockey stuff. We had some good discussions with Owen and Goob, but it's got all for naught now. We can still probably salvage a little bit.
Yeah, we can talk about coaches,
stuff like that.
So we started Pittsburgh, Tampa, Calgary, Winnipeg all eliminated. St. Louis, Islanders, Colorado, Columbus advance, obviously. Maurice, he could be out. What do you think?
I think it's just been a lot to where, you know, Maurice is on the chopping block. He has been with this team for so long.
But he only has seven career playoff appearances.
And they haven't done anything with those, which is...
What's the farthest he's gone? Was that...
he's Winnipeg, right?
Winnipeg, yeah, Maurice Winnipeg, and I feel like he's been somewhere else as well.
I think Western Conference Finals, right, with Winnipeg?
Was that last year?
Yeah. Against Nashville?
Let's see.
Western Conference Finals against Vegas.
Let's see. He was in Hartford earlier, then he was with the Leafs for about 2 years, Hurricanes for four.
Oh, maybe he got somewhere with the Hurricanes.
Third round swept by Pittsburgh in 08.
Yeah.
That was when they beat the Devils and Bruins.
Not a fan of the Devils series.
Oh, he actually coached in Russia.
Oh.
With, I cannot pronounce that one. I hate all these Russian.
Is it Niftik Nevshkamansk?
No, it's Metallurg.
Oh, Magnitogorsk?
That's the one.
Yeah.
I can never pronounce any of these KHLs.
That's so easy. Just think of Magnet, and then you're good. You got Magnitogorsk.
No.
Yeah, so Maurice, it's gotten to the point where what's the problem? It may be Maurice is the problem because he can't get a team to the championship.
No.
And Winnipeg has the high-profile offense. I mean, no one in that series could win a game at home.
No, weird.
You saw Bennington just exposed the Jets. Bennington was really good. Kyle Connor did play well for Winnipeg, but they couldn't get past Bennington, and it's just a shame because Winnipeg has been one of the best offensive teams in the last few years, and they just can't do anything with it, which is a problem.
They're going to have a lot of trouble this year.
A lot of moving pieces this offseason. Yeah. They're gonna have to retain Line A.
Yeah. Line A's the big name, but they have Trouba, they have Myers, they have a ton of pieces here that I'm just not sure if they can re-sign them all, if they want to re-sign.
Yeah, Connor's a guy that you need to look at. He'll probably move on, though, which would not be a surprise to me. And then you've got Line A, obviously. You've got other guys. And then, you know, Hellebuck. Is he moving on? Is Hellebuck?
I think Hellebuck was signed.
They're just in unreal free agent trouble right now.
Let's see.
They're up there with Columbus. They're up there with Toronto. Toronto's going to have to retain Marner, too.
Cap.
I think Marner's leaving. Honestly, I think in every sense of the way, Marner's going to leave.
Oh, yeah. Hellebuck signed until 2024.
Okay, yeah. I think he's going to leave. Marner is going to leave Toronto. But, yeah, you know, Pittsburgh was just abysmal defensively during the series. Letang was the main culprit of that. We had a huge discussion about that with Owen, who probably knows more than any of us about that series.
I mean, he is a big Penguins fan.
Huge Penguins fan. He knows everything, pretty much how I am with the Mets. But And we had a really good discussion about, like, what's happening after this. You know, Mike Sullivan struggling.
He said that if Sullivan, if they don't win next year, Sullivan's gone.
Yeah, he thinks Sullivan's going to be gone.
Which I can completely understand.
Got some guys that he thinks that Jim Rutherford is the biggest problem, which is not a surprise. He thinks that Rutherford's probably going to trade Kessel.
And Hornquist,
which he doesn't want to happen. And, you know, coming from someone who's not versed in that at all, I think it's going to be a problem if that happens, if that does happen. But yeah, and we were luckily to get the Yost bomb in the first half of the podcast, which helped out. But yeah, so Pittsburgh struggled. And then what in the world? We talked about this last week, the Lightning, just a total meltdown.
Well, they're going to have issues as well this summer.
Yeah, they've got a ton of players to re-sign.
Yeah, I'm looking on, let's see.
Well, and then is Cooper going to get fired?
I think Cooper has at – if they don't make the finals next year or the year next,
I mean, the so-called greatest team on earth, and you can't get past the first round, which is just unreal.
Yeah, because let's see. According to Cap Friendly, next year before any signings, they have an estimated $6 million in cap space.
Yeah,
and they have Strom. I mean, these are the guys they have to re-sign: Cedric Paquette, Adam Ernie. Braden Point is a big one.
Braden Point's a guy that was undrafted, so he already has that going for him.
I don't know if any of these guys are going to get re-signed, but you have Strawman, Coburn, Girardi, Ruta.
Yeah.
One more year, Vaz.
Exactly. So it just begs the question, what in the world is going to happen in this offseason? And nobody knows.
That's what I love about hockey. You have no clue.
Yeah, it's just going to be a lot of crap, a lot of crazy stuff. Just stay tuned for all this stuff that's going to happen. I mean, good Lord, we've got signings left and right, coaches, moving pieces, trades, all that stuff. So it's going to be a weird offseason. All right, and then Calgary. Ooh, what happened with them? John, you had them winning your Stanley Cup.
I did. Gaudreau did not show up.
Yeah.
Gaudreau didn't show up. Kachuk didn't really show up.
Well, and that's what Owen said about Pittsburgh. Crosby didn't show up. Malkin didn't show up. Letang sure didn't show up.
When Garrett Wilson is one of your leading scorers in the playoffs,
yeah,
something's wrong.
You know, that's like Fernando Pisani carrying the Oilers to the Cup Final in 06. Just guys that you need to step up and have been their whole career just didn't. So yeah. And Calgary, I mean, they were supposed to destroy
Colorado.
And they didn't. Everyone thought Colorado was Fakers, but now Colorado's moving on. But I think, and I agree with what Owen said earlier about whoever wins that San Jose-Vegas series is coming out of the West, and I think it's going to be San Jose. San Jose has the momentum going. They won last night. We will get to that in a little bit.
I think if Nashville can pull off the comeback against
They can, but if they don't.
Dallas has proven that they, I don't know.
I mean, Ben Bishop has been doing really well, and Rene is just struggling.
Out of the teams left in the East, Washington, Carolina, Boston, Toronto, Islanders, and Columbus, who's your pick?
You know, I want to roll with Columbus because of Keith Kincaid, but they haven't given him a fair shot. But I think everyone's rooting for Carolina to go this far.
I'm not.
I know you're not, but they have just a great fan base, and it would be great for their fans to actually make something of after being just there the last few years, not even competing at all. But I think it's going to be either Washington or whoever wins that Boston-Toronto series. In reality, maybe the Islanders make a play at that.
I want the Islanders simply for Leonard because he's turned his life around.
He really has.
Vezina candidate along with Vaz and Bishop.
I don't think Vaz gets it after his blow up in the playoffs.
But they vote before the playoffs, so yeah. It'll be interesting to see. But you mentioned that Boston-Toronto.
That game was last night. Marchand with two goals, DeBrusk and Torrey Krug. Great goal by DeBrusk, by the way.
Yes.
He weaved in and out of like four guys and then got that redirect. Great play. 4-2 final. Boston won that one.
Typical Toronto defense.
Yeah, well, Toronto has no defense. So, I mean, it's what's new. Matthews and Riley scoring for Toronto. 4-2 the final. Series is tied at 3, and we are going to a game 7. Back in Boston, as Gary Thorne has said many times in his life.
And,
Well,
what I loved about that game was on the NBC feed, some dude was standing in front of the camera who wouldn't sit down.
Looks like John's about to have a Mike Francesa-style rant about the guy that was standing up.
I'm not.
On a garbage. They've played a team that was 46-73. But, yeah, so the The game last night, the late game last night, really late game.
Late.
This went into the wee hours of the morning. Vegas and San Jose, game six. And this is a game that was a must-win for Vegas to move on. And it was a must-win for the Sharks as well.
To stay alive.
And for all the Sharks fans, I feel you. There's been heart attacks all night long, especially in that game. Martin Jones played out of his freaking mind.
He did.
Holy cow. What was it, 56, 57 saves?
Something like that.
I mean, they peppered him with shots, and he stood tall.
Good for, yeah.
Good for Jones. I think people were arguing how Jones is not a starting goalie, but he proved why he is last night. Mm-hmm. And goals by Couture and Thomas Hertl. We will take you to that clip in a little bit. We will roll the clip. That's going to be a new segment going forward. We will play clips of exciting moments that happened. As you heard earlier, we've got that Alonso home run, Bellinger, and whatever the heck happened with Ramon Laureano.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was crazy. By the way, that's the play of the week. It was just announced. Since we're later, we can have a bit of updates. But yeah, and March showed the only goal for Vegas. So we will take you to that clip real quick for the Tomas Hertl goal last night. No T, we'll take you to Randy Hahn.
Tomas Hertl shorthanded, shoots, and scores! Tomas Hertl hits the jackpot! Game 7 on Tuesday in San Jose!
So, I mean, as always been, Randy Hahn's been just a crazy guy. Good announcer. I stayed up watching that game. John was up as well. John did doubt San Jose.
He did.
He thought Vegas was going to, because since they were peppering him with shots, they thought, oh, well, Vegas is going to break through at some point. And they did, and they had a strong second, but the Sharks really dominated that overtime. Like, that, the first overtime and the second overtime, which it went into two OTs, and a two OT winner to send it to Game 7, I mean, the guarantee. You know, the guarantee by Tomas Hertl, he said they're coming back for Game 7, and I'm expecting a rowdy Shark Tank. I think Sharks have the momentum in that series. I think Vegas is just fizzled out. I mean, we're not accustomed to seeing a 2-1 score. Like, in this series, it's been like 5-3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But a
I agree.
Yeah, low-scoring affairs are some of the most exciting games to watch, but also the most nerve-wracking games to watch. San Jose has that momentum, and I think that's going to carry them to this Game 7 win. That is tomorrow night, I believe.
Yes, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
And then tonight, well, in less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
We have Washington at Carolina, 7 o'clock. Washington leads the series 3-2. You think they close it out?
Is it in Carolina?
Yes.
I think Carolina will take this one, but I think Game 7 will be Washington because Carolina's the atmosphere in that rink, I mean, good Lord, they destroyed the Capitals in what was it, Game 4?
Yeah, I think it was that one.
5-1, just and Warren Fogle has just been going off in the series. But yeah, I think Washington will end up on top of that one, and then I think Dallas closes it out tonight.
I think Nashville has one more. I know it's in Dallas, but I think Nashville has one more bite left in them. I think that'll at least go to OT. It'll be a close one.
But I think Dallas has proven to everybody why they're in the playoffs. Like, because everyone thought, well, Dallas throwaway series, Nashville easily wins it. I thought it was going to be a sweep. I want to be honest with you, and I regret that pick now. But hey, proving people wrong is the best thing you can do. So, yeah, there's that.
Happy birthday!
Oh yeah, happy birthday to the late Zarly Zalapsky. And if his name was something normal, like, you know, Thomas Johnson, you wouldn't know who he was. But since his name is two Z's and the only NHL player I believe with that, and he had a good career. 1987-2000, he was a longevity guy in the league. Pittsburgh, Hartford, Calgary, Philadelphia, Montreal. Never won a cup, but in 637 games played, he had 384 points and exactly 99 goals.
Should have played one more. That's what I hate.
I always hate when players finish with like 99 of something or 49 of something. It's just like
one more.
One more to give it an even number, which is something I probably would do in the league. If I were in the league, I would try to get that off of the docket. TJ Gagliardi, a guy who was just there.
Bottom six player. He existed.
08-15, Colorado, San Jose, Calgary, Winnipeg. Four teams that did not do anything when he was on them. 105 points, 321 games.
One of the better players I've never heard of.
Exactly. You know, there's certain guys that are like that. You know, you got Mike Bossy, who's probably one of my favorite players of all time, one of the best players of all time, but doesn't get enough recognition because he didn't play for that long
mm-hmm.
because of injuries. But, yeah, Tom Lysiak, a guy that played for teams that weren't very good.
But he had almost a point a game career.
Yeah, 843 points in 919 games played for Atlanta Flames and Chicago Blackhawks. That was when they were the Blackhawks, not the Blackhawks. I hated when that was that.
It was weird.
919 games, 843 points. He was an assist man, and 8 more goals would have gotten him 300 on his career, which I also don't like. But with that being said, you got another one. Peter Zezel, 84-99.
Another guy I haven't heard. I mean, he played for the Devils, so I haven't really heard
of Zezel. You know, I forget when he played, but it was in the late 90s when he played for the Devils. I know that. I just don't know when. Philly, Toronto, Washington, St. Louis, Dallas, Devils, and Vancouver. And I believe he is also no longer with us as well.
I feel
I think he passed on a few years ago.
Let's see. Peter Zezel. May 26th, 2009.
Yeah.
Let's see. He passed away due to hemorrhaging in his brain.
Okay, so yeah, that'll happen. But rest
he does
in
have
peace.
A street named after him in Scarborough, which is a suburb in Toronto.
Yeah, and I guess he was a beloved Toronto player. 872 games, 608 points, not bad. And then you got one more guy, goalie. Dan Kluche, a guy that you probably would recognize if you played early NHL games. He was a guy that was just around.
Yep.
351 games, Rangers, Vancouver, Los Angeles, Tampa, and the Detroit Vipers of the IHL with some of the craziest colored uniforms you will ever see. 139, 142, 33, and 4, 2.77 goals against average, and a typical 89.9 save percentage. That would be unheard of in today's game.
I know. But speaking of Dan Kluche, we're going to take it back to Rangers versus the Islanders, April 4th. 1998.
Let's roll the clip.
DJ Stock, because he throws them pretty good, and I don't think Tchaikovsky is a noted fighter.
No. And now the goaltender, Salo, comes over. Here comes Kluche.
Kenny, we said old-time hockey lives. Well, here it is.
Dan Kluche has been known to get into fights in the minor leagues. It happened earlier this year with the Hartford Wolfpack. Really throwing them at Salo.
Well, here's another game misconduct because the jersey is off and Kluche is quitting a job. But right now, somebody's got to get loose and put a stop. I don't care if it's a lineman, the referee, or whoever. But when a guy is down and out, okay, Kluche's smart enough to back off, leave it alone, and away he goes.
And now Kluche challenging the Islanders bench.
You know, Kenny Albert absolutely losing his mind during that clip.
Just one of those insane things you don't really see in hockey. You sometimes get goalie fights, but nothing to that extent anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But I miss guys like Kenny Albert on broadcast. He doesn't do them too much anymore. You know, Gary Thorne, all those guys. I mean, the guys on NBCSN, though, there's some that we just not a fan of. And then there's some that, yeah, they're pretty good. You know, analysts like Anson Carter. Anson Carter's a great analyst. I think he's very underappreciated.
Anson Carter.
Kevin Weeks, even though he's on the NHL Network, great analyst.
Rupp.
Yeah, Mike Rupp.
He's good. And then, of course, Sabres and Devils fans are spoiled for their play-by-play.
Yeah. Doc Emmerich, even though John's not a huge fan of Doc Emmerich, I can understand why. I mean, yeah, he probably has an annoying voice, but he's one of the most well-read announcers of all time. Like, this dude has synonyms for every single word you can think of.
I mean, I mentioned about the Devils and Sabres. We are kind of stuck in the way of our I know we both love them, but our color commentators are just terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Danico and Rob Ray cannot speak.
I mean, Ken Danico, he's a great guy. Don't get me wrong.
He cannot speak the English language at all.
He was an excellent player. You know, he is a great player. I mean, a very underappreciated player. Stay-at-home D. Played from 83 to 2003 with the Devils. He has his number retired by the Devils. And I want to just... You know what? I'm going to pull up a clip of that real quick. He actually scored. He never scored goals, which when he did score, it was something to see. And I think one of the best calls ever was when he scored in the Stanley Cup Final against the Stars. I think it was 2000. Yeah, 2000. Gary Thorne with an excellent call of this goal. We will take you to that in just a second. And here we go with that call.
And four of the last five Cup Final series have ended in 4-0 sweeps. Odds are not going to happen here.
I sure wouldn't bet on it. I mean, there are no surprises defensively.
I think that most of the sweeps that we've had over the last 6 or 7 years have been a result of one team coming up against another one and having a great defensive system.
Danica score! Oh my! Let the celebration begin in the Danica household! It must be a leap year! Kenny Danica, 2-1 Devils! Oh.
So yeah, Kenny Danica scoring in Stanley Cup final. Great goal by him. Something that rarely happened when he was in the league. So, yeah, that was that. And that's pretty – but Ken Danico just – well, you know, Kenji, we're out here, and the Devils just scored that goal, and yeah. That's what he sounds like. And then there's got Rob Ray for Buffalo. But, yeah, that aside, it's been an interesting playoff picture so far.
So this was Rob Ray talking about their 10-game winning streak back in, you know – 7 years ago, it seems like now.
All right, Rob Ray joining us on FaceTime right now, Sabres analyst. Buffalo's defensemen, they've been great on both ends of the ice this year, but what kind of impact are these guys having offensively?
Well, offensively, they've got 14 goals to this point. At this point last year, they had zero. There was nothing on the board on the defensive side, so that has been a huge help. But along with that, you know, they have cleaned it up defensively too. Zach Bogosian's done a wonderful job back there. Jake McCabe is fantastic. Dahlin and Ristolainen, and you know, they just eat up the minutes every night. So
yeah, so I mean, that's not the best example, but
yeah, I couldn't pull up a Ken Danico clip because I wanted to shield your ears from that. But that's pretty much all we've got for the regular part of the podcast today. And
well, no, we have this regular part.
Oh yeah, I forgot about this one. Well, this is a fitting last card of the day, even though we did. It's back-to-back hockey. Owen Kreps and I will be meeting this guy tomorrow. Fittingly, it's 1995-96 Summit number 198, Paul Coffey. Paul Coffey, one of the most criminally underrated defensemen of all time.
Because when people think about the best defensemen, they think Bork, they think Orr. I mean, some might say Coffey, but not many.
Well, but if you think of the best puck-moving defenseman, you got
Coffey.
Coffey, Orr, Scott Niedermeyer, Al MacInnis. And or Steve or Niedermeyer and MacInnis were all in that era of 90s defensemen that were really, really good. Oh, and
Lindros.
Yeah.
Not Lindros. Lidstrom.
Lidstrom, yeah. That's Lidstrom came in a bit later.
But still.
But yeah, still one of the – I mean, he played from 80-2001, 6th overall in 1980 with the Oilers, and he came in right into the league. Played with Edmonton, Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, Detroit, Hartford, Philly, Chicago, Carolina, and Boston. And this card says it was commemorating his 1,000th career assist.
Which was in 95-96, so he had at least six more years after that.
Yeah, just one of the best puck movers of all time. I mean, he has numerous playoff records, by the way,
numerous
all set in 85.
Numerous records.
Numerous records. I mean, most career goals by defenseman NHL playoff history, most career points by defenseman NHL playoff history, and you can pretty much go from there. Most goals in a year in playoffs, assists, points, blah, blah, blah.
Four-time Cup champion in 84, 85.
It was what? Oilers, Penguins.
Yep. 84, 85, 87, and then 91.
Most assists in a period with three. But he won the Canada Cup in 84, 87, and 91 with Team Canada, obviously. Won the James Norris Trophy in 84, 85, 85, 86, and 94, 95.
If he for some reason he didn't play in the 87 All-Star game. I don't know why. But he would have made one, two, three.
Nine.
No. And because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 straight All-Star games.
It was just snapped by that, I guess, bad 87 season? I wouldn't know.
Yeah, bad 87.
He also play in the Cup Finals in 1995 with Detroit. That was the year the Devils swept them. I will try not to ask him about that tomorrow, but, hey, it might happen. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2004.
Yeah, and he's most different teams by 100 points or 1,000 point scorer.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And most penalty minutes by 1,000 point defenseman. I mean, there's not a lot of those. So, no. But yeah, that's pretty much all we've got today. Once again, it's the last one. It's a bit bittersweet.
Oh, I have one for you. Don't scroll up to check it. He has 8 points in one game by defenseman. Do you know who he shares that record with?
I want to say Bobby Orr.
No. I'll give you a hint on who he played for. So, he was a former defenseman, obviously played for the Flyers, Penguins, Oilers, Jets, and Red Wings from 72 to 81. He was Canadian, 6'1", won the Stanley Cup in 74 and 75 with the Flyers?
I'm going to just go out on a limb here. I don't know. Bob Kelly's not. Dave Schultz. No.
His nickname was Bomber.
Bomber. That's a good one. Oh, Bill Barber.
No.
Then I don't know then.
Tom Bladen.
Tom, I would not have. If you gave me a billion guesses, I would.
I've never heard of Tom Bladen, but he apparently scored 8 points in a game before.
Yeah. So, hey, good for him. But that's all we've got for today. It's a bit bittersweet. It's the last episode of the year. We've got finals next week, and Monday we're going to be preparing for finals, hopefully, and not slacking off. So we will hopefully be back in August or September of next year. With this podcast, be right back in swinging. We will still have baseball. Hockey will be in preseason, and they're not going to talk about football too much, but
it'll be in preseason. And
and we'll still have a lot to talk about for hockey. Yeah, we may even download an app and do a podcast from there if there's free agent frenzy happening. Maybe. If it's crazy, but probably not.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it'll be that crazy. I mean, you have a couple big
maybe
names,
to crown the Stanley Cup champion and all that.
I think Carlson will get re-signed. Yeah. I mean, other than that, Columbus is losing people, Winnipeg, but Marner, but there really aren't many big name
really
free agents this year.
So, we will hopefully see you next year. I hope we can put this back up. I've certainly had a lot of fun doing this.
Is it time to officially?
No, not yet. No, I think I got to give a couple
shout
of
shout outs to everybody.
Shout outs to pretty much everyone who's listened. I know there's not been a lot, and it's probably annoying hearing us talk for constant amount of time, but hey, it's what pays the bills, even though we don't get paid for this.
Or do we have bills?
Exactly. And once again, special thanks to Michael Greco, great co-host this
Goob,
year.
Owen really redeemed himself.
Owen did redeem himself in the last half of the year after talking over us for the entirety of his first two podcasts he was on. And Goob, we have to say, though, he will be transferring to Duquesne for the upcoming school year. Hopefully he'll be back for a few. He'll be our chief Duquesne correspondent. He may call in, may show up if he gets a car on campus, but... Yep. No, thanks to him.
Luke Yost.
Thanks to Luke Yost for giving us some incredible predictions throughout the
some of them,
entire year. Some of them came true.
Yeah, some of them came true. Some of them maybe haven't yet. And the ones that I know came from true, Tampa not making it. And the
Penguins will be fine by January.
Yeah, that's the only ones I can think of.
Yeah, and he has some that probably will come true at some point. So,
but
once again, for the final time this school year, I am Tyler Gallo.
And I'm John Hanna.
And have a great week.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on. Oh.